life, universe, and everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Zoe Avery.
Hello everyone, this is Sylvie Avery and welcome to Spirit Foot, the metaphysical and spiritual information show that's designed to stretch your mind and help you to think outside of the box. On today's show, as usual, my husband Mick will be deep trance channeling, and today we will be taking your questions as well as listening to whatever it is that Spirit Gregory has to say to us when he first comes in. He usually comes in with a topic. It's usually very interesting and it's usually very helpful to us, so in one way or another. So if you have an idea for a topic, by the way, and that you would like for us to do one week, or you would like Gregory to speak about, or myself to ask questions on your behalf, then you can send them in to us at spirit-teaching.com. And you can also join us with a phone call on the show if you would like to ask Spirit Gregory a question. That is in the USA. It's a free phone number, and that's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. An international call is, it's not toll-free, but the number is 001-530-876-3222. And I'd just like to say that it's actually not a reading-style situation. Gregory's not going to give you a reading, but you can actually get in touch with us if you would like a reading with Gregory. He does Akashic readings, which is all explained, is, you know, everything you want to know about that on our website. So if you do want a reading, then it's a private reading. This show really is about you asking the spirit world questions that you feel that they can give you answers for that you possibly couldn't get in any other way.
Well, hi, I'm Mick Avery. And as I've said, you can join us here on bbsradio.com every Sunday at 10 a.m. PST, that's 6 p.m. GMT, 1 p.m. EST. Now, if you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, maybe book an Akashic reading, as Sylvie said, please go visit our websites, which are at www.spirit-teaching.com and also at www.spiritsworkradio.com, and now at for European and English listeners from the UK, we're also at www.mickavery.com. Now, as Sylvie said, I'm a deep trance medium, and each week live on the show, I channel a spirit guide called Gregory Hay, who had an earth life 300 years ago. I have the ability to completely hand over my physical body to the spirit world so they may use it to speak through, and I know absolutely nothing about what has happened during this time. When I go into the deep trance state, my conscious mind and my spirit are transported elsewhere by the spirit team who work with us, and then they bring me back again at the end of the show when the spirit communicator leaves. I not only miss the whole program, but I very rarely remember where it was they took me either. I mean, sometimes I do, and that's okay, but I don't fixate upon it. I don't worry about it or fret about it, because it really doesn't matter. It's totally immaterial where I go. What matters is the communication process and everything to do with the spirit world. And that's what we're all about. So I'm going to hand you back to Sylvie now, and have a great show, everyone. Bye.
Thank you, Mick. Yes, Gregory is the spokesperson for a group of spirits of higher intelligence called the White Cloud Group. They consist of many great minds as well as ordinary people, and between them they have access to vast knowledge and insight. They've come to bring their teachings because of a need for us to have understanding beyond the constraint of our human minds, and the need for us to understand the mechanics of the universe and the spirit world and how all of these situations affect us, and that's without exception. Even if we're not interested in this sort of thing, it really does affect us. And our mind and our thoughts and the control of our mind and our thoughts is really important. And very often this comes up time and again, because in different ways they come to talk about different things each week, so that so that it covers everything that we can possibly maybe not be able to get to grips with learning in a specific way, but time and time again it comes up, and then in different ways maybe we can get the message on how certain situations, how our mind and our thoughts now control and are very important to how we, when we pass, and our, shall we say, our evolution after we passed. I won't say our ascension, but our evolution after we passed to the spirit world, as it mattered before we came in and had this life as well, of course. Anyway, the subject matter we cover is absolutely limitless. So hopefully it will help you to become more knowledgeable and better informed as to the nature of your existence on Earth, as well as your continued life after physical death. So don't forget, you can phone us with a question for Gregory if you would like to talk about any of these situations, life, the universe and everything. Meanwhile, Gregory is with us. Hello, Gregory.
Hello, my dear friend, with love and light. Blessings as ever.
Thank you. So I do have some questions from listeners to read out in a little while, because they've emailed me earlier in the week, which is what, again, anybody can do if you would like to do that. If you're not, if you don't want to phone us, you can email us, because lots of people just like to listen to these programs. So if they send their questions in to me, I will read them out to you, and then you can get the benefit of the answer at your leisure. Okay. So, Gregory, I don't know if you've got anything to say before we start about on the questions.
Well, my dear friend, I was really going to really begin where I had, in essence, begun last week, last time that we spoke. In many respects, we note with understanding the matters of the physical world with the survival of peoples from large catastrophic disasters, and how it is that these conditions are met both in physical life and in the spirit world. And I thought really that perhaps we ought to begin with some situations surrounding that.
Okay, because I know you've been there a lot in Haiti this week, helping receive people who sadly come to your side of life.
Yes, quite so. The point to make, first of all, is that within about the first 3 or 4 minutes, we had an influx of some 50,000 people.
Right.
Those passing from the physical side of life en masse, as it were. This was not, of course, just from the one major city, but also from other outlying and accompanying towns. So it is that this question, in a sense, of how we actually dealt with it looms large within our lives. And in actual fact, it was something that we had not precipitated, was not as though it was all written, that this was, in fact, going to take place. So for many, I understand, who judge this as being a partition of life, therefore, which is as though God is trying to bring about some kind of learned lesson to all peoples of the earth. I feel, my dear friend, that this is, in a sense, an onus, a situation which rests purely, fairly, and squarely upon human physical life, and upon animal life as well, of course, because we must not forget that many animals perish during this kind of dramatic situation as well, although naturally birds and animals, because they do not live in such physical structures, are more adept and more able to move away or to seek flight in other respects of other places, perhaps, really, so that their lives are spared. This situation, then, if we are to look at it really and truly, we can see that in many respects it was, in a sense, a situation waiting to happen, but we did not know quite where it was going to take place. The earth spirit did not know where it was going to take place. It's an organism, of course, and a life force and a being, that is the earth. However, does not mean to say that is aware of every facet of itself, or every facet of a situation that is overcome by the stresses and situations brought about by upheavals deep within itself. So that means to say, friend, that in many respects we were caught unawares, just the same as physical life. I suppose one could say, well, what is the point of having a spirit world then if we did not know prior to the event? That's a bit like saying that all beings who are masters of their own ship must dip into the timelines of future in order to understand what present facsimiles are to take place. In actual fact, in every event situation, it's very glib to say, oh, well, we should do this or do that, and that this or that is at the behest of activity. Perhaps it should be then that humankind reviles itself in some state of thinking that all of this is some measure of education for human beings. Perhaps to treat the earth more kindly. I will abet to that. I will agree to that. However, with every measured task we face, every situation, we are never prepared for such cataclysmic events unless we are already prior warned of such events to take place. For example, Nagasaki, Hiroshima. We were already aware that great numbers of people were going to lose their lives in that event. So does that mean that those people in those two events, because they were struck by human minds, by human hand, that they were then any less frail, or any less at fault, or any less at somehow that they had given up their souls purely and simply and agreed to such a provision, such a situation of intensity to their life? They did not choose it, did not choose the path. The little girl running down the street with no arms did not choose that way of life, nor the mischief which happened to her that brought about the situation of her and her continuing survival. So therefore, it means to say that such events cannot be tied in together, you see. It may well be felt, perhaps by many human beings, that simply because the event happened when it was created by human hand, that other humans are supposed to take note of it and are supposed to learn from that experience. So therefore, don't create a war or a situation which is out of control, out of inhumanity to one another, because you will have some form of devastation which you simply would not be able to cope with. That doesn't teach humanity anything apart from to fear those who have such a weapon and such a situation. Simply means their wielding of power is counterpoint to the power that they also wield within the financial circle and status of their empowerment upon the earth. When you are faced with natural disaster situations such as Haiti and other events, you will see from tsunami to earthquake that the penetration of the fault and of the blame will always be seeped in one culture or another. In fact, for many of folk, we brought help, not hindrance, to ease their suffering at the immediate point of their passing. We saw many a man, woman, and child who were simply snuffed out where they stood or collapsed. And all of the love in the world could not bring them back.
So what happened in the spirit world? What happened when this happened and is happening, presumably? Because you said that you couldn't be prepared for something as big as this.
In many respects, yes. But that's not to say, though, that the trillions and millions and billions of beings in the spirit world would not immediately rush to death.
No,
point.
Exactly. That was my point.
It would be an instant.
What would be the difference between not being prepared and then the action? A bit like, actually, the human aid and help and that sort of thing that's going on now in us trying to help. Obviously, it stands to reason what would have been done if we'd have known in preparation. So what about in the spirit world, from your point of view, what would have been happening and what is happening?
Well, actually, my dear friend, what happened at that point was immediately the thought was there. And we were there.
Mm-hmm.
So it was instantaneous.
Yeah.
I suppose in a sense then it means that it's something that human beings in physical state cannot do.
Mm.
And so what we did was we blessed every single one. Everyone was helped in their road, in their passing, in their situation, particularly those desperate really to cling on to their physical life, and then but their fight was just short-lived.
So thousands of spirit helpers, guides,
yes,
etc. That's
yes.
how we can envisage them.
Yes.
Went to their aid, sort of like
hundreds of thousands.
Hundreds of thousands. So yes. So it's more than one person.
Oh yes, absolutely.
One spirit.
Oh, absolutely.
Per person.
Yes, because you're looking at all of their ancestry, and I know many of them were actually related because it was all to do with large families and that kind of situation.
Yes, of course. Yes, so there's their relatives as well.
Yes,
yeah,
quite
of
so.
Course.
Yes, so many of them actually were reunited as well in order to help their distress. At suddenly being taken to our side of life, in order to ease their transitional state, we made sure that those who were related instantly in blood and in genetics were then met with one another in that state, you see.
Right.
So that it meant that all situations, there are no situations which are ongoing, which mean that we are at sixes and sevens as to know who is who or whatever.
Everybody's
everyone has been repatriated and yes.
Mm.
Yes.
Well, that's good to know. That is good to know.
Yes, and I know, though, of course, that I would not wish to point any fingers in this respect to human beings in physical state. I understand this is actually a situation that, even though many people think that this has been a very slow outcome, a slow, almost tedious situation that human beings have brought to try to rescue the situation. Mm. However, I have to say we could not make any formal judgment over this matter except to wish and ask for humanity to perhaps set down a provision within the orchestration of what do you do when you have an earthquake.
Mm.
It's simple. Certain golden rules. What do you do when you have an earthquake or a natural disaster, mudslide, whatever it is?
Mm.
You would have a condition whereby certain kinds of infrastructure are immediately put in place. I'm not talking about bridges or anything like that, but actually the kinds of mechanisms that enable aid to reach those who need it with almost immediate effect. And that means it's something which is obviously drawn from military, because it has to be a military-driven situation.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that. And in many respects, in a peaceful state, this is the best use of human understanding, interaction, and the capability that they have to wage war is just as capable to wage war in a peaceful setting.
Mm, to rescue.
Yes, absolutely so.
Mm.
So I would suggest that the mechanisms for doing that, which are obviously the...
Thinking of a word.
Yes, I'm so sorry. Thinking of the craft that are able to hover and all of that.
Yes.
You see,
that
is obviously the kind of instantaneous situation that is the first place forward. Or other craft that are able to drop supplies, regardless of, don't think about what are you doing to people on the ground? It's more important that you have the infrastructure of communication and, in some respect, being able to bring in supplies as quickly as is possible to that area. Perhaps maybe it's something that's dropped outside of the village or outside perhaps a mile or two away, needless to say. So then at least you know that you're not dropping it on people's heads.
Yes, I'm sure everybody did what they could, but
absolutely so. But I'm saying,
and there's going to be lessons.
Well, and my point, really, my dear friend, is because you are going to have a lot more storms. You're going to have a lot more situations just like this one. You're going to have situations where the seas just simply overcome the earth. And what are you going to do then? You have to bring about a balanced situation whereby people can call on a certain kind of infrastructure that is then quickly moved to country or to wherever.
Well, the other thing, of course, is actually making provisions for places, situations, homes, new homes to be built for people to be put afterwards when they get, to the point where they haven't got a home anymore.
Yes, of course, I understand. It's
located somewhere else. That's the other thing, I think, as well, for the future.
Yes, I believe so. Yes, out of harm's way, that kind of situation.
Where they're going to have to live from now on, possibly.
But, of course, in a place like Haiti, that will not be the case.
Absolutely, no.
They'll still live where they are.
Yes, they haven't got a choice. Well, thank you for that. I mean, okay, just to wind up on that, what happens to our prayers, the outpouring of love and that compassion that's going to these people? Is it reaching them? Is it reaching them?
Absolutely, my dear friend. Every single prayer, all of that loving energy which is collected and harnessed and cherished, is also used by the spirit world. It enables the spirit world and many beings within it to then communicate in a very real way on a particular level to those just passed. Oftentimes, because the energy of someone passed in such a circumstance is so low and so detrimental to them in that respect, it is that love that comes from all of those prayers which then lifts that person up. Lifts that being state in letting go of their human physical past.
That's a bit like when you're alive, a human being when you're alive, isn't it, really?
Yes, quite so. Absolutely.
If you're feeling, really negative and low and sad, traumatized or whatever, then you cannot find the positivity to move forward. And that's quite interesting, actually, thinking about that. The lightness that you feel. I was thinking the other day, people, because one of the things that we have, one of the main things that people have, problems that they have when they have an Akashic reading, is that they cannot drag themselves out of maybe a negative situation that they are
or
in.
Despair, yes.
Despair, depression or whatever.
Yes.
And the difference between getting up in the morning and feeling like that and getting up in the morning when you are actually going to have a day out somewhere nice that you've been looking forward to, the difference in that feeling and trying to regenerate that feeling on the other days to carry you through the day and then sort of roller coaster you forward, it's like a knock-on effect, isn't it? A domino effect.
Quite,
it's like when you know that you're going to go on holiday in 2 weeks' time, the 2 weeks that you are at work leading up to that are just so simple. You just breeze through them, and yet it actually is no different to any other day that you're going to work. But because you know that you're going to be going on holiday in a couple of weeks' time somewhere really nice, isn't it? It's true,
your energy level
is totally different.
Absolutely so, completely different.
So that's the same thing,
exactly,
really,
the same.
Isn't it?
Yes,
it's
exactly
giving
the same.
Them the energy, the loving energy, that they can then use to fuel their journey forward, to give them a lift.
Yes, absolutely so. So all of those prayers, all of those thoughts, all of those feelings of sentiment and emotion, yes, all human traits, I know, but they are all essences of energy you direct in positivity to help those who are in need. However much that affects those in the immediate surrounding, it is something which continues right through them and helps them to join and remember and to let go of their human physical past so that they may move on with their sacred journey of life.
Or at least come to terms with it.
Yes, absolutely so.
Okay, thank you for that, Gregory. Well, I have actually a question here from Sean in LA.
Yes.
And, okay, so she says, where does your aura go when you cross over?
Very interesting point, my dear friend. Your aura, in fact, of course, is an element in physical life of the being that you are. So, in other words, the things to do with your physical life and part of the memory of it, which creates the ambience, creates the aura. So it means to say, if you are diseased in some way, your aura magnifies it. If you are diseased in a certain place, your aura will magnify that place. This then is a kind of a situation envelope that is by direct result of the energy infrastructure of physical state with recurrence in the spirit world, in a sense on the astral plane, I suppose you would say, in order for that energy to be released and to be realized and seen. So in many respects, we would see that when a spirit comes finally to our side of life, let's say then the person passes with, I'm just trying to pick out the right thing, yes, that a person passes with a gunshot.
Mm-hmm.
A gunshot to the heart. Now, ordinarily, if that was something that had taken place and you had seen that person before they passed, their auric field would identify the area of not just something that you had seen physically, but also within the aura, it would show itself as well as a certain center of healing around that area as well, trying to be magnified by the spirit world or by the person's spirit in order to try to stem the situation from that person coming to our side of life and separating from the physical state. If that then continues to be and the person passes, what happens is the aura of that person's life actually stays with the spirit of the person as a part of their central control memory of the events of their life. So in other words then, once a person passes, you would see for a while certain auric transmissions of what happened to that person, in a sense. So that when you would meet, let's say then that you were a spirit who were on our side of life already, and that you met with someone who had been shot with a bullet from a gun, then it would be that the situation of that person's passing would be fairly obvious, even though, however, you would really want to have that spirit intonate why it was the event took place.
Why?
Well, simply and purely because they may well have conditions perhaps surrounding it. Maybe that they had conditions whereas they wanted to bring certain kinds of resolutions to do with the activity, to do with what happened to them.
Okay, so when you're a spirit being and you meet another spirit being, you can usually tell that how they passed because there is some sort of scarring.
Yes, fairly immediately, really.
Scarring in their aura?
Yes, in the spirit's aura. That doesn't mean to say, though, that it's still something that stuck to them. You understand? It's like a part of the memory field. So it's only there as a sort of a translucent memory. It will fade with time, with the passage of time, although I have to say the passage of time is quite different in the spirit world to something of physical matter because it's not linear. It's completely different. So I will embark upon that in a moment. The point is that then much of what's happening with the spirit itself, so let's say, is a condition of memory purely. So if you have a medium then, let's say, who makes communication with a person, a loved one, from someone on the physical side of life who has been, had this happen to them. Mm-hmm. They won't see the aura of that person because it's only something that's manifest to those usually in the spirit world or someone who has a certain kind of connection to that person or to that event or to spirit in that particular way. I'm saying this in order that it doesn't mean to say that all beings who are then mediums would automatically see this. It's something that would be specially trained or a certain enhancement within their physical journey that enables them to see that aspect of that auric field of the spirit. Yes?
Okay.
In most situations, what happens is the spirit of that person who passed, who was shot, would have said that, would have not necessarily said it in words, I had a bullet pass through me, or something like that, but would say it as a form of feeling passed to the medium, maybe. So the medium would suddenly feel like, I feel like I was shot.
Mm.
And that's how they would relay it. And then it would be passed and gone. The feeling wouldn't stay with the physical person. It would be taken away immediately, normally because of the control that's established by those spirit beings who work with the medium to enable that to happen.
Mm. Yes.
Yes. So in other events, what would normally happen is if you see someone, unless, of course, they lost their head like me, although I don't wear my head under my arm or anything like that. No. I don't carry it by the side of me. It's quite happily joined now to the rest of me. Thank you very much.
Okay.
So it's not a situation either where I'm walking around with only one hand or something like that because my right one was chopped off at the wrist.
Yes. So if you're in the, so in the spirit world, okay, your aura goes with you and you cross over.
Yes.
And you can see other people's auras. Everybody has an aura in the spirit world?
Well, of a sort, yes. The point is, though, however, with spirit generally, their aura and their energy tends to be one of the same. It's like, in a sense, the aura becomes just an extension of the spirit. You see, if the spirit had recently had a physical life, then perhaps maybe some of the manifestations of that physical life would be available or there within the auric field of that person. But it will still depend and determine, really, as to whether that being, that spirit being, wanted to show that as a part of their condition or not.
So the other question that Sean wanted to know was, does the spirit world see the same auric colours then as we do here?
No, they're actually quite enhanced. And in actual fact, friend, the auric colours that you see from the physical side of life are, in a sense, determined and tamed somewhat by the actual physical accents that you see with your retina, with your eyes, with the energy that you transpond with. In many respects, friend, it's like I always try to make the difference here within the concepts and precepts of what you have in how you think a being is going to be presented from the spirit world into the physical side of life. So, for example, then, it may be that you see your pet dog, but your pet dog doesn't have the same kind of coat, doesn't have the same kind of luster about it as it did when it was in the physical side of life. In fact, nay, it may well be that the coat itself, if perhaps dark brown and white or something like that, but the white actually appears to be quite translucent and almost as though it has a shining element, energy all of its own.
A frosted sort of a...
Well, yes.
I've seen that.
In a sense, but actually really glowing quite profusely. And sometimes this glowing can be almost as though it's a slight green tint to it. And that it's actually very luminous and that the the whole situation of even just the hairs on an animal's face or something like that appear to have their own energy and vitality about them. And that's really a matter of not just the auric field, but the change in quality when you are dealing with matters of beings and things from a non-physical structure, which are then enabled to illuminate themselves into the physical mind or into the physical state, thereby usually having different forms of energy and therefore different color, which does not exist in physical life.
And texture.
Yes, that too, texture too, yes, quite so. It's part of the reason why you would always understand why it was that you saw someone from the spirit world. I'm not saying this at every time. In fact, actually, there are many situations when people, perhaps in dwellings or houses or establishments of this or that type, when visiting or being visited by, should I say, those from our side of life, maybe someone, a previous dweller from some other time signature who suddenly, that you find yourself confronted by. I have often heard it said that people from the physical side of life, when they are face to face with a spirit from our side of life, that they appear to be perfectly normal. And some would even say, what are you doing here? This is my house, or something like that. Purely and simply not realizing that for some reason that they have suddenly dipped into and changed a different timeline. And of course, as we all know, many people from different time signatures are actually quite particular about their own time signature and won't like, in fact, people from further future times being in their own establishment or their own dwelling as they see it.
So, okay, hang on a second. Right, I'd like to go into that in a moment.
Okay, well, yes.
I just need to just finish this.
Yes, I'm sorry, I did not mean to detract.
I do have one more question for Sean in for Sean in California.
Yes, yes.
About the aura, your aura, can it move independently?
Can your aura move independently of the physical body?
And when you crossed over?
Would not normally.
Okay.
It is normally within a certain situation. It very rarely would the aura of someone move independently of their spirit, unless there's a certain very good reason for it to do so. I have known it, so never say never. I have known it happen on a very odd occasions. But it's usually to do with some situation where there is an event happening or something like that that they have to pull a person out of very quickly.
Okay.
And sometimes an auric field visual will be used to do that. It's actually, however, most unusual and almost unheard of.
What does it look? Tell me this situation. If there was a group of people in a room, friends talking or whatever, maybe they'd never met before.
Yes.
And there was two particular people in there that had a good possibility of a deep spiritual connection, maybe a loving relationship, whatever.
Yes.
What, from the spirit world's point of view, what would you be seeing in that room? Would those two people's auric fields be sort of like reaching out to each other?
Yes.
Okay, because
yes,
that's the sort of thing that I imagine.
And that's what you feel.
I guess, yes.
My dear friend, it's actually what you would feel through your skin.
Okay.
Don't forget that your skin is, in fact, your largest organ that you have. And in that respect, it means that what happens is it's not just attraction or pheromonic activity, although that will be making chemicals at a very vast rate. And these chemical spores, in a sense, and chemical alights will be sent from one being to another. So they're like usually sent on a kind of electromagnetic pulse. That's what human beings do. And they get excited. And the more excited that they get, the more the electromagnetic pulse moves from one person to the other. And so the attraction is then set up both with eye contact, with facial expressions and is then becomes dominated by that as a form of sign language to from one being to another of the responses of their chemical reaction and how they are feeling it reacting within themselves. And you will also find that at times, if you were a person, for example, who can already see an aura of someone else who is well versed with that kind of situation, you would actually see and feel the condition of aura, of auric energy going out to that other person or coming from that other person to you as a very deeply warm feeling.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And that's exactly what it would feel like.
Mm.
That's love.
Mm.
The universal energy of love.
Mm. Yes. That's a huge situation. I'm just thinking about blushing and things like that, happen that just are totally involuntary.
But that's my point, really. Yeah. It's in many respects, you see, those kinds of situations and conditions you cannot hide away from.
No.
They are just simply automatic. They just happen in almost as an involuntary signal.
Mm.
And it depends then on whether that signal is reciprocated, perhaps with a movement from the other person or not. Maybe it's, but it can just be from eye contact or eye movement that enables the signal to be passed back.
Hmm. Yes. Yeah, very interesting.
Birds are equally significant in this, and many forms of animal too. Bugs also are able to do this. Leaf beetles, ladybugs, very many different kinds of beetle, cockroach, all different kinds of creatures are able to do that.
Hmm. Hmm. Okay.
Not just that they call to one another in the dark, you see?
No, exactly. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, we have a question from Sage.
Yes.
Actually, Sage is from the UK. And, Sage is from Swatham, I think.
Ah, yes.
Or near Suffolk, anyway. Where you were. Okay.
Norfolk,
sorry. Yes, even.
Evening,
okay.
Yes. Suffolk is south.
Yeah. Okay. Time slips.
Yes.
Is there no time in spirit at all?
There is time, but it's quantum time. So it means to say it's only relevant to where you are headed, where you are going, where you believe you are at that point and moment. Time is irrelevant in many respects in the spirit world simply because it's not a process of one and one. We do not regard the passage of time simply because it's immaterial. Doesn't bear any semblance. My point really, Sage, is that within this condition, when you are looking at matters of physical earth, you are looking at linear time and the processes of day and night. Eating, sleeping. Eating, sleeping, sleeping, eating. The message goes on. Working, if that's what you do. Walking, riding, something or other, a horse or a bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
The whole process of this is the passage of time, linear time, the process of what we call one and one. Now, if you were looking at that process of time of one and one as existed in the spirit world, you would see it only dominates one certain area, and that is what you happen to be doing at that moment, and only to your alignment to it. It may well be that in the spirit world, you have a form of multiplinarian disciplines. So that means to say that you are able to fracture yourself, perhaps in some form of indivisibility, where you can move into many different cycles at one time. That means cycles, I'm talking about not bicycles, obviously, but cycles of events, cycles of dimension or distance, which does not limit with time. Time fractures are something which simply happen in the events of physical state. When you do not have a time fracture, you are simply in the impulse of now. That means that you are in the greatest state of being. Because I am, I be. Therefore, I be wish to go X. And X doesn't have a place. It's not somewhere over there. You just decide that's where you want to go. The thought form is actual because thoughts are living things, which means you are just there in an instant, provided, of course, you have the right vibration to attain that energy.
Mm.
If you don't, if you're a negative being, you will be stopped from doing that. Stopped by whom? Not by anyone. Purely by your own energy and its inability to process the chatters of that particular when or that particular place, object, or situation, because it's just simply not in your vibration to do so.
Mm.
That is why it is that learning in the spirit world is so vitally important. Giving love is so vitally important. Being of service to others, also so vitally important.
Okay. The other question that Sage asked was actually, is it man-made? Is time man-made? But I'm just thinking about other planets.
Well, my dear friend, if you go to any other planet upon any other star system, their time will be made up into their fractions of how their planet orbits their own star system, whether it's binary or singular. The system of directed time will be mapped out within the fragments of the passages of what is a passage of time and what that event means to that being. If you consult with a dog what is a passage of time, it doesn't know what you're talking about.
Even if you knew, even if it could understand you, it wouldn't know what you were talking about.
Yes, that's right. Because it doesn't see in passages of time.
But it would see, surely it would work, you know, food. Okay, that's one of the most important things. For
yes, but that's just a physical organism.
Yes, I know, but organism. It's a passage of time in between when
yes,
it gets
it
fed or when it's hungry and when
yes,
it needs
it
feeding again.
But that's really coming through the orchestration of a chemical reaction. So it understands when it hears certain sounds, it's a correlation between activity and its activity of receiving food. When it is at a certain time of the day, it's a correlation between the activity of how it sees, how the animal sees, the sun going down, the position of the sun at the time. If it can't see the sun, then it will be purely based upon its own animalistic situation of how it processes food and how the animal then, once finally, becomes hungry again.
So, okay, so it's not entirely man-made, except obviously the way that we do it, because
yes,
another planet, another star system would obviously have their other parameters that they,
yes, absolutely,
they
so
judge it by.
Yes, yes, they wouldn't have the same system of 24 hours in one day.
Mm. Okay.
Because it would be completely different. So their time orientation will be completely different.
Mm.
They won't have seconds, the same divisions as you have seconds. Will not have any divisions of minutes or hours. Won't even call them the same thing.
Okay, she's got a few parts to this question about
yes,
time.
Yes.
Sage says they say that historical novelists often get a time slip, which allows them to write with greater accuracy. Is this so?
It depends on what you mean by a time slip and what a novel may
well,
be to do with.
Many, okay, so she says many people have slipped back in time. How does this happen?
That's a so-saying. It's not a necessarily given.
And she's saying this is how they write with greater accuracy because they are actually drawing, they slip into a different dimension, obviously. A time slip in different time.
Not necessarily. It
okay.
may well be that what they're doing is that their contact with their spirit group who has walked with them.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget, friend, that everyone has one. Mm-hmm. So it's oftentimes that people who are that kind of academic or that kind of palpably creative simply mean that they have originations which are, as well as their own gifts of spirit and their own wonderful and brilliant way of turning their conscious living condition into a gift, enables them to then perhaps draw into measures of their own previous journey, not in fact of their own lives upon the planet's surface, but in recognition of their journeys that they have made maybe with other beings, helping other beings who were having a physical journey, maybe some other situation to do with their spirit, or perhaps to do with other spirits in their group who actually had time journeys at that moment.
I was going to say, they could actually slip back.
That'd be very helpful.
They could slip back into time, into, shall we say, a time travel of their own spirit journey before
Absolutely.
They had a physical life.
Yes.
And either when they actually maybe visited and helped people on the earth.
Yes.
So they were around, say, for instance, in Victorian times, but it was
yes.
it, they were only a spirit guide or something, helper.
Yes, yes.
Or they could actually maybe get the information from a guide, do you think, who could take them on an illuminated
oh, yes.
journey like
absolutely
that.
Absolutely so, absolutely
and
so.
It would seem like it was them.
Yes, or they
dipping
may...
Dipping into that time.
Yes, or the person themselves may actually, during the sleep state, or maybe in a slight altered state experience, be dwelling within the halls of learning to look at various books or pieces of work which are from that particular time period or even sequence of events to do with a certain essay or certain event within the calendar of that time period.
Hmm. So, and then there's, of course, the other situation is that something that you touched upon a little while ago about the fact that, because we were talking about this in the week, this happened to somebody, they went into a house.
Yes.
And they heard something in the cellar and they opened the door and it was somebody from a different
time. Yes.
Shall we say.
Yes.
And told her to get out. This is my house. Go, what
yes.
are you doing in my house? Get out. So,
yes, that's right.
Okay, so well, so that's almost like a time slip, though, isn't it? A sense of...
Well, in a sense, but it's like actually what's happened in that situation is that the person involved, the person who said the words...
The spirit that said the words.
The spirit that said the words mm. was actually enjoying being in that place. Obviously, the person had lived there, owned it, or previously, or some other such situation of dwelling.
Mm.
And what was happening was that person was simply visiting or being back in that place because that was something that held a great attraction for them. That doesn't mean to say the place is haunted as such, but what it does mean is that person from a different time field is often times... perhaps maybe attracted to that particular place because of holding so many memories. Did not mean to say that person was stuck or in trouble or some other such thing.
So was it the spirit actually coming into our time energy vibration because of the people that were there?
It
or
could have been.
Was it her, the person that actually witnessed this, going into their time sequence?
No, it wasn't that person going into their time sequence. It was the spirit of this individual who had come into your present time sequence. Perhaps mm. inadvertently. It may well have been that they didn't mean to do that, but it was just something that happened as a side effect of their presence.
Mm.
So oftentimes what we'll have, as I have often said in the past, that people from different time periods will not necessarily be happy to be cavorting with or sharing the same space as someone from a future time when.
Yeah.
Purely and simply, they will actually become quite arrogant and quite hostile towards such interactions
mm.
because they treat the place as their own. And still being as their own.
I was going, but aren't these spirits there all the time anyway? It was just that it was illuminated and she could actually see this person.
It's
I mean,
possible.
Aren't there people saying, get out of my house all of the time?
Not necessarily, no.
You know.
No, my dear friend, no.
Yeah, but, you
no.
know, just because she saw this, you know, it's not always that you actually physically see or hear a spirit like
no,
that.
No, but it may well be.
Because she wasn't a medium, I have to say.
No, well, she didn't think she was, no.
No.
My point well, really is the fact that many, many physical people on your side of life at this present time now will have a remarkable effect upon others in the spirit world if they come across a timeline sequence or some other such event which then enables that spirit manifestation to take place. And it simply happens because of the processes, because of that human physical being's ability to connect with such energies. And also, perhaps it may well have been that it's simply a spirit situation, which then happens, is fired off because of the physical being's presence. Does not necessarily mean to say that I'm saying that it means that there is no spirit presence there. I'm saying it's quite possible that there is a spirit presence there, but it is also quite possible that it's simply playing an event as well.
Yes. Yeah.
From a time when.
Yeah, but this one actually could obviously see her because she opened the door
yes,
at the top
and
of the
was interactive,
and, yeah.
Which means if it's interactive, it is a spirit rather than a ghost
experience. A ghost
experience.
Image, yes.
Yes, a ghost image experience would not interact
no,
with a
it's
physical
just,
person.
No, it just repeats. A
yes, and would simply
specific.
Pass through you and ignore
yeah,
you
yeah.
And your physical presence.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
And thank you, everybody, for your questions as well. So, well, once again.
Oh, are we done?
It's friend? Done, yes. Didn't
done,
that go
really?
Quick?
Well. Mm. Doesn't time fly
yeah.
when one doesn't have their boomstick?
And when one doesn't have time, yes.
Yes, and when one does not have
okay.
the pleasure of time or the complexity of it
yes,
or
but
the nuisance of it.
But you'll be here next week at the
I
same time,
I will be here
you, Gregory?
At the same time next week. I will set my... set the clock on the board.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
Lovely.
For the
thank
Earth
you.
Time. Yes. Thank you so. God bless.
Thank you. Well, we hope you've enjoyed the show. We certainly covered quite a few subjects, didn't we? Do visit our website. It's www.spirit-teaching.com. My name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. So until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.